This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Hello again, and thank you for joining us. I am so excited, and I count it an honor and a privilege to be before you. If you would, turn with me again in your Bibles to Galatians 5, and read along with me silently as I read aloud. Galatians 5, starting at verse 1. It says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you, we praise you, and we magnify you on today. We give you the glory and honor that's due your name. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us. And we thank you for this opportunity to come together before your word. Lord, have your way right now. Lord, let Marco remain seated behind me, and let your Holy Spirit stand up and speak a word into the hearing ears of your people. Lord, prepare the hearts and minds to receive the word that will go forth. Use me as an instrument of your will, and have your way in Jesus' name, amen. If I had to give today's message a title, it would simply be Free at Last. Freedom. Freedom is a remarkably interesting concept. There have been songs written about it, like this popular one that we heard earlier. "Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies, let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod. Felt in the days when hope unborn had died, yet with a steady beat have not our weary feet come to the place for which our fathers sighed." Freedom. That's what we're talking about. Lives have been lost trying to save it and attain it. We in America tend to take it for granted. We even have a hard time trying to define it. Dr. King lost his life in the pursuit of it. He even had a dream about it. Dreamed this day when freedom truly comes will be the day when all God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country tease of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride from every mountainside, let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and every molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we'll be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Catholics and Protestants, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Today, we want to take a good hard look at freedom and see what it means for us in our walk with God. So we look at Paul's view as he's writing here in Galatians versus society's view. We see slavery to God's will versus doing whatever one wants. We look at Christ in the Spirit versus relationship with God through being left alone. We look at interdependence versus independence, and we have only to choose between bondage to the Father, which makes us free, and bondage to the powers of this world, which enslave us. So how does this apply to us as people of God? How does this apply to us even as people of African descent? First and foremost, people must see what we need to be free from before they can be free. Read about this pastor that prayed for a state legislator, and I want to share it with you now. The pastor's opening prayer, he said, "We confess we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it moral pluralism." Guest chaplain went on in the state legislature and said, "We have worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem." And as one legislator walked out and another sat down, the pastor went on and said, "We have abused power and called it political savvy. And we have coveted our neighbor's possession and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. And we have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment." He closed with a plea for God's forgiveness, blessing, and wisdom. And one rep who refused to stand during the prayer called it divisive, sanctimonious, self-serving, and overbearing. The press report said, in the legislature, where there are people with strong convictions on many sides of issues, the prayer should draw them together and recognize their integrity, said one man who was the executive director of an interfaith ministry organization. The problem we face when we talk about freedom is trying to get people outside of the faith to understand that they are enslaved. Imagine trying to tell a prisoner who lives out his life in a lush resort playing golf or bowling by day and dancing by night with wine, women, and song that he needs to be set free. The problem with trying to tell folk they need to be set free, the problem is that most people don't want to be set free from the world. It's just easier to live life and not be held accountable for our actions in their mind. What people need to know is how awful their status is. They need to know where this present life will take them. They need to know what they are being set free from. They are being set free from Satan and all his trappings. See, he has a wonderful plan. The Bible even said that sin is pleasurable for a season. Satan's plan makes submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ look like slavery. He tells us about the false sense of freedom we already have in the world, but what he doesn't tell us is that the price we will pay in the end, all for the 65 or so years of the perceived freedom we have here on this earth, we spend eternity in hell. Now do the math. Is it really worth it? Second thing we must know about freedom is we must inform our world that what they are set free for. We must inform our world for what they are set free. People are set free to serve God, to follow Jesus, and to live in the Spirit, but this is not what society wants. It wants individual freedom, the freedom to be left alone, to tear down social barriers that hinder one's ability to find oneself. But for us who are in Christ Jesus, that is not our aim at all. Christ did not set us free to become an island, but to become a community. Not to disassociate ourselves from others, but to build up one another in love. Not to tear down social barriers just so we can be left alone, but to tear them down so that we can show people the light of the world and show them what true freedom looks like. As I think about freedom, I think about January 6th and the disgusting, disturbing thing that happened on Wednesday, January 6th. Armed domestic terrorists scaled the U.S. Capitol building against the backdrop of makeshift scaffold with a dangling noose. Rioters clambered up walls, broke windows, pawed at congressional offices, killed a Capitol police officer, and planted explosive devices. It was a scene some have likened to the fall of Rome. Among the Confederate flags and Trump banners, the bare-bellied New Age Shama costumes and anti-Semitic shirts and hoodies were signs of Jesus. Jesus saved, Jesus 2020, make America godly again. Since when did violent insurgency against our halls of government have anything to do with Jesus? Really, it has been this way for a long time. According to the Pew Research Center in 2018 data on religious typologies, 12% of Americans surveyed consider themselves God and country Christians, for whom American conservative values and national Christianity were most important. Sociologists have been studying this segment of American Christians for years. They believe the United States, like Old Testament Israel, must maintain cultural purity through conservative policies that reflect a brand of strict white Protestantism to fulfill God's will. Commonly, these beliefs folded in with nativist views, and that includes white supremacy, authoritarianism, patriarchy, and militarism. You can accept all that. It is not a great leap to believe our country is under assault by atheists, feminists, Muslims, and any person of color for that matter. Many pastors preach from their pulpits that the defense of our country is your religious duty. Our former president, Donald Trump, by appealing to these fears and bemoaning a loss of American Christian heritage at his big tent rallies, became a figurehead for accelerating Christian nationalism's gospel distortion. Comfortable in a worldview that reveres authority like this, the former president legitimized their fear, telling his followers at the January 6th Save America rally, if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. For God's promised country, these Trump supporters were armed foot soldiers. My question to you today is, what does true freedom look like? A person who is truly free trusts, loves, and obeys God through Christ, and in the Spirit loves and serves others. He also lives before Christ with a clear conscience. As he grows, he or she grows in holiness and love. We can agree with society there are at least three dimensions of freedom. We need to be free individually so we can be who God wants us to be. We need to be free socially so all can see the glory of God. And we need to be free psychologically so we can relate to God and others authentically and clearly. We can achieve this threefold sense of freedom through Christ and in the Spirit. First, we must come clean with God, and that involves confession. Until we face the truth about who we are, until we face the truth that we are sinful, imperfect people who live in the constant pain of our imperfections, we cannot and will not be set free. And that includes America, white America, black America, all of us with our imperfections. We have to deal with our imperfections and own our junk. We need to come to him with confession that I am a sinner in need of your forgiving grace to receive the forgiveness won for us on the cross by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We place number two, in order to realize this true freedom, we need to place our faith in Christ's death and resurrection. We must come to God honestly by relying on Jesus Christ. Only when we stop to rely on our own abilities and trust in the way, the truth, and the life can we experience true freedom. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, opened our line to freedom. He did it through his death, which tore down barriers and cleansed us from all sin and imperfection. When we were at our lowest state, it is there that God can work with us and help us shed the things of this world, the hardships of life, that we learn how, it is doing the hardships of life that we learn how to lean and depend on the Lord. So I think about this. I think about Dr. King and how he died in the fight for freedom. He died for similar reasons that Christ died. People of color all over the world are experiencing injustice for some of the same reasons that religious leaders in Christ's day persecuted and even killed him. They did not like his message of freedom, but it wasn't just freedom from sin, but freedom for the oppressed. Freedom and liberty for those who were being held captive by the world systems. Freedom like we, people of color in this country, particularly people of African descent here, have dealt with social injustices. Third, we can experience true freedom when we live in the Spirit. We must then live our lives in the Spirit, God's appointed way of being renewed daily, of being healed, and of being made whole and complete. Spirit makes our lives alive and vital before God so we can be and do what God wants us and intended us to be. See, God is our maker, our creator, and he created us in the Imago Dei in his own image that we would be image bearers of his. And so when we come to God and live before him through Christ and in the Spirit, we live in freedom. And as we live in the freedom of the Spirit, we truly bear out the image of God. As we do this, three things happen to us. We are personally set free from our sin and our unfortunate past. And we are set free to serve others so that social barriers are broken down and we become what we always wanted to be, though we never knew what it was. For people who achieve this kind of freedom, they are not bothered by legalistic invasions of their privacy, cultural oppression, racial prejudices, or denominational fixations, because they know that in the Spirit and through Christ, they can live above them and through them. But does this mean we ignore oppression and racism? Heck no. Whatever cuts into the freedom of God's Spirit needs to be cut out. But we need to know what we are free to fight for. Freedom to be what Christ has set out for us to be. We must understand and remember our history so that we will be able to prepare for our future. We must have hindsight, insight, and foresight in order to fully understand the importance of our history. As we close out our celebration of Black History Month, let us always remember that we are Black 365. In the United States of America, February is a month when we celebrate Black history. It originally began as Negro History Week in 1926 and took place during the second week of February as it coincided with the birthdays of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. 1976, the bicentennial year of the United States, President Gerald Ford expanded the weekend to a full month, and in doing so, he said the country needed to seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in everyday in every area, in everyday life, every endeavor throughout history. While Black History Month has been criticized by both Black people and people of other races for its unfairness in devoting an entire month to a single group of people, there are lessons to be learned from remembering our history, especially as it relates to our faith in God. During this celebratory month, we can reflect on our rich history and remember the price paid by others for us who have, for us to have the privileges that we have today. Celebrating this month gives us the opportunity to remember the best of our history and culture while remembering that it is our history. If you haven't already done so this month, I challenge you. I want you to really take some time and think about what we have and how we got it. See, although freedom at its root is free, somebody had to pay a cost for it. Talk to some older folks and listen as they tell you what was available to them 60 years ago and what they experienced back then. Talk to your mother, your grandmother, your neighbor, and let them tell you some of the things that they dealt with. Even now, as you reflect upon what we're going through right now in this nation, that you can't even walk across the street without being shot and killed if you look anything like me. When you hear and understand their stories, you can hopefully appreciate more what we have today because someone paved the way. As I said, we have a history and it cannot be remembered if we don't talk about it. So we must have the hindsight to know what has happened before us. We must have the insight to know how to navigate and deal with what we're going through. But we must have the foresight to know that if we don't learn our history and appropriately respond to what is happening to us now, that our future won't be as bright as it can be. The foresight to better understand how our history impacts how we live today and tomorrow. As we close, I want you to understand that what Paul is saying in the text is what he wants us to work out in the world that we live in, is to cut down those things that minimize our freedom, whatever form or shape they take, whatever hampers our living in the freedom of Christ, whatever bites into our freedom in the spirit, we need to work to cut it out. Paul's whole message in Galatians may now be summarized simply as this: be free through Christ and in the spirit. When we come to God through Christ in the Spirit, we are free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. As I reflect back on last week and the week before, as we watched on PBS, the history of the Black church, this is our story, this is our song, I'm reminded of the hymn, and I can better understand what the hymn writer was talking about as she wrote, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit and washed in his blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angel descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, and I can praise my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." So I think about Jesus as he came to us through 40 and two generations, as my pastor would say, came, lived among us, and went about doing good, and mocked him and ridiculed him and called him everything but a child of God, and they hung him up on a cross. They put nails in his hand, nails in his feet. Nail on Calvary's cross, he died. But I'm so glad the story doesn't stop there. Died on that cross, they took him down and placed him in a borrowed tomb, and he laid in that tomb all night Friday and all day Saturday and all night Saturday night. But early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power, got up. And through his resurrection power, we can be set free. We can claim that we are free at last through Christ's resurrection power. As we prepare to go into our prayer, you can experience that resurrection power if you would pray with me. Whether this is your first time or your fifth time, the heart of the matter is the matter of your heart. If you truly believe in your heart, as Romans 10:9, if thou would confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, but with the heart belief is made unto righteousness. Prayer. We're going to pray the sinner's prayer. Pray along with me. The words will come up on the screen. Pray with me this prayer. And ask Jesus to come into your life. Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. Believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you for saving me right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, your salvation is not a matter of feeling. It is a matter of faith. If you prayed that prayer, you were sincere in your heart. Don't let anybody tell you. The devil wants to tell you that you're not saved. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Rest assured that it's not about the feeling. It's about your faith. As we prepare to close, don't forget to give. There's information on the screen. You can give on Givelify. You can mail your contributions to the church. Don't forget the opportunity to give. Now let us prepare to have our closing prayer and benediction as we go to God and conclude on this day. Lord God, we thank you once again, and we give you the glory and honor that's due your name. We thank you for your son Jesus who died for us, Lord, and we just thank you for these few scattered words you've allowed us to share. And Lord, we pray that as you said in your word will not return unto you void, but it would accomplish that thing for which it was sent forth. We just thank you for the word you've allowed us to share here on today. Lord, we ask that you would do that deep and abiding work that needs to be done in the heart of each and every one of us, Lord, that your word would manifest itself in how we live each day. Lord, we thank you once again for the opportunity and the privilege. Lord, we ask now that you would bless us and let us go forth, not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers. This is the year of action that we might do the things we hear. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of your Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say amen, amen. And amen again. God bless you. Go in peace.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, First African Baptist Church. www.africanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. May God bless you, and thank you for worshiping with us.